Word of the Lord, and if you just remain seated while we read this morning. I want to read a few verses. I might give a little running commentary while we read. I'm not sure what I'll do yet as we go along here, but in John chapter number 10, if you're looking with us in your Bibles, I'm talking the Gospel according to St. John now in chapter 10, and in verse number 1, this is what the Word of the Lord says. We talked this morning about Moses being a shepherd and how that he had been taken out of Egypt and became a shepherd working for his father-in-law. And now if the Lord had let him try to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt while he was trained and still in Egypt and had been trained in the house of Pharaoh, he'd have tried to be a general or a king, and he'd have been a ruler instead of a shepherd or a servant. But after he spent 40 years as a shepherd in the wilderness, when he came back to Egypt, he was a servant of the Lord, and he was a shepherd unto the people, and he was a blessing to them, and he knew how to relate to them. He didn't know how to relate to them when he left Egypt. He had always lived in the house of Pharaoh, but when he came back, he knew what it was to be a shepherd, like most of them had been. He knew what it was to be poor. He knew what it was to be destitute. He knew what it was to experience the things that they experienced. In this chapter, he talks about how the Lord is our shepherd. Jesus came all the way from the palaces of heaven, from his Father's house, from the throne of the Lord. He came from the royal palace, and he dwelt among us so that he might be a shepherd unto us. And he became the good shepherd, and I believe he is just that. He's a good shepherd, and I realize that's a title, the good shepherd, as it is the owner of the sheep, not just the one that is the caretaker. But I'm going to tell you, he's a good shepherd, as in he's a good shepherd this morning. He's not a bad shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. And he's a good shepherd. He's my shepherd, and I'm grateful for that. We're reading in verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." You see, this time that he spent with them allowed him to get so well acquainted with them that they knew his voice and they would not follow a stranger. And so when he puts them out, when he tells them, "Let's get out of this place where that has been enclosed, our pasture, and we're going to travel," he says he goes before them. He's our forerunner, is what he called him in the book of Hebrews. Whither the forerunner is gone, behind the veil, he went first. He told his disciples, "I go away to prepare you a place. And if I go to prepare you a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." He went before us, and because he went before us, we can go after him. He went before us and made a way, and I'm glad he did make a way for us. And he said that he then calls his sheep, and they know his voice. Verse number 5, "And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things that they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." He's the shepherd and he's the door. "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers." Notice he didn't say here was like a thief and a robber. He said the ones who came before me are thieves and robbers. "But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And I'll leave off on our reading right there. This is a precious portion of Scripture this morning that reminds us that our Lord is the shepherd and that we are His sheep. The Word of God in verse 11 calls Him the good shepherd. In Hebrews chapter 13 in verse number 20, He's called the great shepherd. How we find out in 1 Peter 5 and 4 that He is the chief shepherd, and He is. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, He'll give unto us a crown of glory that fadeth not away. He
is one shepherd according to verse number 16. There is just one other sheep, he said, that I have, which are not of this fold. Them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Hey, he's the one and only this morning. He is, in Psalm 23, he is the caring shepherd. He said that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The rest of the psalm, he talks about how he cares for the sheep, leads us in paths of righteousness, takes us among the green pastures, and leads us beside the still waters, restores our soul, feeds us at his table. You talk about a caring shepherd, lets us eat at his table this morning. And my friend, in chapter 24 of Psalms, he's the crown shepherd, who is the King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty. He is the King of glory. Be lift up your doors, lift up your doors, be lift up your everlasting gates, and let the King of glory come in. He's the crowned shepherd in Psalm 22. He's the crucified shepherd, suffering and dying for the sins of the sheep. And he told us in verse number 10, and now verse 11, that the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In this passage here this morning, he's the calling shepherd. In the verse number 3, he said to him, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own by name, and leadeth them out. He's our calling shepherd, and we are warned to listen to and to recognize his voice. In verses 4 through 5, we are warned to hear him and to know his voice. And he said, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. It's remarkable how many voices people listen to. People are incarcerated today because they listen to what the voices that my friend had to say in their heads and told them to commit some heinous crime. And they listen to some voice somewhere or another. And they're spending the rest of their lives in prison because of listening to the wrong voice. Amen. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Folks have lost their lives in horrible accidents and in tragedies because they listen to the voices of their peers. Has somebody dared them, or double dog dared them, or triple dog dared them, or said they'd be a chicken if they did not do this or that? And did they listen to the voices of their peers and lost limbs and lost lives? Families are in ruin and in divorce. And my friend, homes have been torn apart all across our land because of those who listened to, my friend, to the voice of society, or to a co-worker, or to some silver-tongued he or she devil. And my friend, that told them, your husband doesn't treat you right, your wife does not appreciate you. If I had somebody like you in my life, then I'd do you better than what your spouse does. And the families have been torn all to pieces because people listened to the wrong voice. Are you listening this morning? Churches have been ripped all to pieces because that they have listened to the voice of false doctrine and the pontification of false teaching. And we've listened in this day to the voice of politics and the president and physicians and philanthropists and psychologists and psychiatrists. And we have ignored the voice of the shepherd. And may the Lord have mercy on us. And there are people who are not here in our midst this morning because they've listened to the voice of somebody in their family who said, that's a cult down there. That church is crazy. Those people don't have the right mind. There are people who are not here because their therapist said the reason they were having bad dreams is because of what goes on at Truth Baptist Church. And you don't need to hear about hell. And you don't need to hear about eternity. And you don't need to hear about a judgment. But I'll tell you, I've know the voice of the shepherd this morning. And that kind of talk is the voice of a stranger. That does not come from the voice of the shepherd. And I tell you, when you're saved by the grace of God, you ought to know the difference between the voice of the shepherd and the voice of a stranger. Amen. And all of that crowd that said the church is your problem is strange to me. All that crowd that said the preaching the Word of God is your problem. All that crowd that said the worship of God is your problem. All that crowd that said going too far living for God is your problem. I don't recognize that as the voice of the shepherd. I know that is the voice of a stranger. And we are to flee from the voice of the stranger today. Amen. The thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I tell you this morning, if you listen to the voice of the stranger, if you listen to the voices of my friend that come from other sources, they will ravage your life and will destroy you. But the shepherd is here. He leads in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Amen. He's here to lead you in the ways of truth and of right. Flee the voice of the stranger today.
Yes.
I'm reminded of 2 Samuel in chapter number 11. David stayed home when he should have been in battle. And he should have been out fighting with the other kings of the land when all the kings of the earth went to war. David remained still in Jerusalem. And he committed adultery with Bathsheba in that place. And then he had Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, killed. And he took her to wife. And Bathsheba was about to bear a son. And he thought he had covered up his sin. But the Bible said in chapter 12, he said that there was a man of God named Nathan that came unto David and said, David, there was a man in this town who had a stranger, a wayfaring man, that came by his house. And they said that whenever that man answered the door and the stranger stood at his door, and said he heard the voice of the stranger and he welcomed him into his house. Are you listening this morning? And that wayfaring man, he sat him at his table and he took not of his own flock to feed that stranger that came into him. That said he went and he stole a sheep that belonged to somebody else. Had that little pet sheep that belonged to somebody else. And he killed it and he dressed it and he cooked it. And he fed that to the stranger. And he listened to the voice of the stranger. That stranger was the voice of temptation. That stranger was the leadership of the devil. That stranger was a drawing and a lure of the flesh. And the Bible said that finally David said unto Nathan, said, find that man. And said, I'll have him killed. And said, he'll pay back fourfold what he stole. Then Nathan looked at David and said, David, thou art the man. And said, you listen to the voice of the stranger. And you took that sheep that belonged to somebody else. You stole Uriah's wife. And you stole his wife. And you stole his family. And you had him killed. And David wept bitterly. And my friend, the Lord put away his sin that he might not die, but yet he took of him fourfold. And the sword never left his house. I tell you, you better watch the voice of the stranger this morning. When he comes by your way knocking on your door and telling his lies, you better send him down the road. You better not hear the voice of the stranger. He's not the shepherd. He does not have your best interest in mind. He does not care about you, your soul, nor your family. And my friend, he seeks to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And flee the voice of the stranger this morning. Amen. There are times we just simply need to run from these other voices. We have ignored too often the voice of the shepherd, and we have listened to the voices of the stranger. Amen. Oh, God, help us. We've listened to the voices of Dr. Spock and Dr. Phil and Dr. Laura, and we've ignored Dr. Jesus. Amen. That's exactly right. Hey, we've listened to the silver tongued devils, the little curly haired smiley boy from Texas. Amen. We've listened to his older brother Joyce Meyer instead of listening to the Lord and the voice of the shepherd. Amen. If we learn to listen to Jesus, it'd make a big difference this morning. How we've heard the voice of intelligentsia. We've heard the voice of the pointy-headed intellectuals. We've heard the voice of our friend of the so-called experts in our generation, but we've ignored the voice of the Lord. Hey, you better flee the voice of the stranger. Somebody said, how do I know it's a stranger? First thing you got to know is the voice of the shepherd. If you know the voice of the shepherd, if he said, I am known, he said, I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. If you know his voice, then you know when it's not him too. Amen. How you learn how to try the spirits by knowing when he's speaking. And if you recognize the shepherd's voice, if it's any other voice besides his, then you know how to ignore the other voices and listen to the voice of the shepherd.
Amen. Oh, we want to talk about how tough we are and how we ought to resist this or that. My friend, but the scripture said, submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Many times, friend, we try to fight the devil in our own accord, and you're not a match for him. And we need to submit ourselves to God first. And then we can resist the devil, he'll flee from us. Oh, but I'll tell you what he told us in this verse to do in verse 5. He said, flee from the voice of the stranger. Flee from the voice of the stranger. Sometimes our instinct is to fight. When the Word of God has told us in certain occasions, our instinct ought to be to run. We ought to flee the voice of the stranger. Don't bring that wayfaring stranger into your house. That force of temptation into your house. Sit him down at your kitchen table. Feed him a meal. Entertain his lives. I didn't expect to get by with it. You can't have the devil in your house. Sitting at your kitchen table. Spending time with you and your family. And expect it not to show up on you. It's like keeping an old nasty dog around the house. It's like trying to keep a wolf. And expecting him not to act like a wolf. You may feed him today. You may think he's your pet. But there'll come a time he'll turn on you. And he'll attack you. Amen. You cannot invite that stranger into your house. I'm not saying you have to push him away. You have to flee from the voice of a stranger. One little girl said it this way. She said, every once in a while the devil comes along knocking on my heart's door. She said, I always go to the door when I hear a knock and ask, who is it? She said, when I figure out it's not Jesus, it's the devil, I tell him he's got the wrong house and he has to go somewhere on down the street. Amen. It'd do us well this morning if we wouldn't even open the door. If we wouldn't even open the latch. You see, there's somebody else standing at the door too this morning. He's found in Revelation 3:20. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open unto me, he said, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. And the Lord wants in. Do you know his voice? Can you stand at the door this morning and know the difference in the shepherd and in the stranger? Flee the voice of the stranger. There comes a time to run from what's been presented unto you. Amen. Flee the voice of the stranger. And I'm trying to preach this more. Lord, help me now in a few minutes. After the remainder of the message on when to flee. When to flee. Flee the voice of the stranger. Run from what the devil has to offer. And make no provision for sin. And neither give place unto the devil. Flee the voice of that stranger. Oh, this morning, if you want to get victory over your sin, and quit hanging. I get
Quit having to hang around like a pitch.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to get victory over something in your life?
Yeah.
That you need to say it out of your life. Don't keep it around.
Yeah.
Some of you ought to just clean your house out.
Yeah.
And to my friend, don't take all that stuff and give it to somebody else.
Yeah.
And let it be a stumbling block unto them.
Yeah.
And destroy it so that it might not hurt you or anyone else. Amen.
Yeah.
And flee that voice of the stranger.
Yeah.
Amen. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes, listen. That crowd, listen, I don't know who has trouble what between you and the Lord. But that crowd that's my friend been involved in the drinking business, they don't need to take their bottles of expensive liquor and sell them or give them to somebody else. They need to pour the liquor out and bust the bottle. Amen. That's exactly right. I'm thinking those folks that can't seem to get victory. And I'm not even preaching this as a sin, but I am preaching you have victory over it. If you're a slave to a cigarette, you can have victory over it this morning. I didn't even tell you it's a sin. But if you want victory over it, you can't have it. But there's no need trying to get it while you're toting around a pack in your pocket. I'd go ahead and get set of it and pray for God to give you victory over it. Amen. Help for you, my friend, are wrapped up in the lust of some kind. I don't keep things around that you know are a temptation unto you. If there's somebody in your life that's become an allurement to you and drawing you away from your spouse, run, run, run. Oh, that's exactly right. Especially if your spouse is not around while that person is around. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 7, is everybody listening now? I'm feeling like doing some 4th of July preaching on how to get some liberty from sin this morning. And Proverbs chapter 7 tells us about how when the good man of the house was gone, how that wicked woman, that alluring woman, that tempting woman found the simple one in the street. That is, he was foolish or he was ignorant. And the Bible says she found him when he was by himself. And she grabbed him with an impudent face. And that is, she was a forward. She was, and my friend, very open. And she was a very full of authority. And she says, come and lie with me. The good man of the house is gone. In other words, we don't have anybody to find out what we're doing. And there's plenty of secrecy for our sin. The very best thing that the Bible said, listen, the Bible said her house is the way to hell. And going down the chambers of death. I tell you, if that is your temptation, or your allurement, you better put her in high gear and to flee, my friend, that temptation. Don't listen to the voice of strangers.
Amen.
That's exactly right. Make no provision for sin. I don't give place to the devil. Amen. That's exactly right. I flee the voice of the stranger. I'm going to tell you something else the Word of God was said about when to flee. I flee the love of money. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. It did not say that money is the root of all evil. It said the love of money is the root of all evil. And it didn't say what some had, that they had money and it destroyed them. It said they coveted after it. Which while some coveted after it, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness and godliness and faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast made a good profession before many witnesses. And don't be as the rich fool from Luke 12. He planned to tear down his barns and build greater. He forgot about God. And don't be like the rich young ruler who left the presence of Jesus unsaved and dissatisfied died because he loved his money more than he loved Jesus. It'll never bring satisfaction. Ecclesiastes 5 and 10 said, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied silver, and neither he that loveth gold shall with increase. This is also vanity. This is a warning for the adult in the season times of life who's concerned about a legacy and his family and his future. Ambition is admirable, but the love of money is idolatry. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10 and 14 said, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. There's a time you just better run from what the devil has presented unto you.
Amen.
When to flee. Flee the voice of the stranger. Oh, flee the love of money. I want to say this morning, it's time to flee. Flee the lust of youth. Flee the lust of your youth. 2 Timothy 2 and 20 said, but in a great house there are only vessels of gold. There are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. That's what I want out of my life, out of this vessel. And he said, prepared unto every good work. Flee also, youthful lust. You want your body to be a vessel of the Lord. You want to use your body as a vessel that will bring honor to God. You'll have to flee youthful lust. Some of you right now are thinking, I'm not young, I'm old. Hey, you're as young as you're ever going to be. Amen. And you'll have to flee the lust of this day you're living in right now. Youthful lust. But he said, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. The lust of youth will taint the vessel of the young Christian. It's very easy for the young Christian, for the young believer, to get lax in his life for God. Social media, Satan, a strong peer pressure. They're all leading in the same direction, and it's down the road to destruction. That broad way that leads off into hell. My friend, 1 Corinthians 6 and 18 said, to flee fornication. We are to run from fornication. Hey, ma'am, that's right. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committed fornication, every has sinned against his own body. We're not told to be strong to refuse fornication. We're told to flee fornication. And we're not told to have willpower. We are told to get out. Amen. We are told to run and not just to refuse. Amen. Sometimes the most important thing for old and young to know about the temptation to sin is how to run as fast as you can. Amen. It's not good. The Bible said it is not good for a man to touch a woman. The man who is not your husband doesn't have business touching you, nor you touching him. You don't belong to each other until you give it in marriage. Flee fornication. Fornication is as wicked as hell itself is wicked. It's an epidemic among young and old in our generation. We're living in a day where there's more people, my friend, on Social Security committing fornication than any time that any of us have ever seen in our lifetimes. We're living in a day where it's an epidemic with young and with old. It's amazing, friend. You don't have to you don't belong to each other until you give it in marriage. Flee fornication. It's an epidemic among young and old. It's an epidemic in the church and amongst those who are not religious. It's an epidemic, my friend, for male and female. My friend, Jesus died. Are you listening? Coming out. Jesus died on the cross to put away the sin of fornication. Amen. He died on the cross for fornicators. He died on the cross to forgive fornication and to free you from fornication. Amen. And if you're saved, you have no business joining the temple of God, which is your body, with another person through a physical relationship, without the blessings of God in a holy marriage. Amen. And that's about as chaste and as nice and as clean as what I can preach, what I'm preaching this morning. Amen. That's right. And I don't mean to embarrass nobody, but I got to be God's preacher if it embarrasses everybody. Amen. Hebrews 13:4 said, "A marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, and God will judge." Simply put, the physical relationship of marriage is honored by God, and it is beautiful in the sight of God. That those who engage outside of marriage are setting themselves up to endure the judgment of a sin avenging God. And by the way, friend, the very next verse after he said that God will judge the fornicators and adulterers is verse 5 of Hebrews 13, which said that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He always has, he still does, and he always will, and judge perverse sins. And to my friend, sensual lust, it's dangerous grounds. Flee from fornication.
Am I preaching right? Flee the lust of youth. Flee the love of money. That some of you that's here in this building this morning been raised in church. Some of you have been saved for a while. Some of you are a little older in life. No use for the devil to bring a liquor bottle by your way. You're not even interested. Matter of fact, you love to break that liquor bottle. No need for him to try to allure you into the casino. You're like me. You wouldn't give a nickel to watch an ant eat a bell of hay. You're not interested. No need him coming by your way and tempting you to steal something. You're just not going to do it. You'd walk a mile to give somebody a nickel that you own. It's just not in your nature. But I tell you, the natural attraction between men and women is a tool that the devil uses on people. Even folks who are saved, even folks who are spirit-filled, even folks who are serving God. Let's be real this morning. Up under your halo rests a set of horns holding your halo up, and you're still living in the flesh. And the natural man does not seek after the things of God. He seeks after the things of this old world. I tell you, better run from that junk. And your family means too much, sir. And your children means too much, ma'am. Your testimony means too much, young person. Your future's too important. And to throw it away, chase it after the lust of you.
My heart breaks because of people that I've loved and that I've preached to and that I've tried to pray for who allowed adultery and fornication to rip them apart, and I've had to watch their children suffer and their spouses suffer, and I've watched my friend moms and dads suffer with broken hearts because of fornication of their children, and I've watched people get diseases and end up upset in the hospital room. Well, little girls from our church and bounce their babies on my knee, and the mamas have to sit there and say, "I don't know for sure who the daddy even is." And I try to preach to those people, and it breaks my heart, and it discourages me. The sin of fornication and adultery tears lives apart. You better flee the lust of youth.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
I've fielded the phone calls of brokenhearted people to say, "Brother Toby said, I'm so sorry and I regret it so much, but I've gone the wrong route. My heart's broken and I'm ashamed. I wish I hadn't done what I've done, but I can't undo it. And what in the world do I do now? And I don't know all what to do now except for just confess your sins and trust in the Lord and give it to God. Realize that God will forgive you, but sometimes other people won't. Sometimes sometimes people will hold against you for the rest of your life. What God has forgiven you of, that's just a reality. The scars will never go away. You'll probably never get over it yourself. I wonder God should listen to me this morning. Before you go down that road, I tell you, sin, fornication and adultery is a sin against your own body. Amen. And my friend Jesus said, when you look upon a woman, He didn't say when you noticed her. He said when you look upon her, at the lust after her in your heart, that you committed adultery in your heart. And now listen to me this morning. If you keep committing adultery in your heart, it won't be long you'll commit adultery with your body. Everybody listen. Hey, you better run. You better run. You better run from those youthful lusts. To flee from the lust of the youth. And my friend, God still judges sexual sin.
Yes, sir.
I don't even like preaching on stuff like this. It's embarrassing to me. It's embarrassing to me that we have to preach on this, church folks. Amen. It's embarrassing to me that you got to tell church folks how to treat one another. I mean, listen, you are, and I'm trying not to get too mean with this now, but if you have a problem lusting after your sister or your brother, then you're a pervert. Amen. That's exactly right. I mean, if you've got a brother or a sister, naturally I'm talking about, if you have a sibling, I don't have no trouble. Listen, my sister's come stay at my house for a month. Every day wouldn't make no difference to me. Now they can't bring their whole crew, but they can come stay at my house for a month if they want to. I can feed them, but the rest of their families eat too much. But if they come stay at my house for a month, it wouldn't matter to me if they slept over every night, that my sisters could come stay at my house and my wife not even be home. And it wouldn't create any sort of problem. Because if you have a problem with your heart, having been drawn towards your siblings, you're a pervert. What's wrong with you? Amen. It is impure and it is improper. We was all three raised in the same house. We had no trouble with that. Amen. That's exactly right. And I'm going to tell you, if we're saved by the grace of God, if I'm saved and if you're saved, saved people ought to be able to go to church with one another. They ought to be able to be friendly with one another and not have the impure thoughts and impure motives in their lives. Amen. That's exactly right. And if you have problems like that between brothers and sisters, you've got to do it, my friend. A serious problem that you need to get straightened out with God before it manifests itself in something that is impure and that God will judge.
Amen.
Am I preaching right this morning?
Amen.
Amen. That's exactly right. And we ought to love one another like brothers and sisters. And we ought to respect one another better than brothers and sisters.
Amen.
That's the tune y'all say. Amen to that. And we bend it and chin up. Don't none of us y'all. Girls beat up Junior the way Brittany does. And we ought to love one another like brothers and sisters. And we ought to respect one another even more than brothers and sisters do. Amen. That's the reason why if you are 30 years younger than me, 25 years younger than me, I'll hug your neck, ladies. If you are 20 years older than me, I'll hug your neck, ladies. If you're within 20, 25 years of my age, I just shake your hand, tell you how much I love you, but I don't hug your neck. Never blue moon. If I get real spiritual now, if I get real spiritual and get beyond the flesh, I might hug somebody's neck within 15 or 20 years of my age. But it's going to be when I'm spiritual enough for both me and them to know that there's no ill. I mean it is. Come to Lord and to their children and their spouse and to their family. Amen. That's right. And we all respect one another and love one another and flee from youthful lusts.
Amen.
That's exactly right. I hug the neck of all these men, because if you got a problem with a man hugging your neck and it creating lust in you, you got bigger problems than I can solve. Amen. But I don't hug the necks of all the women. My friend, all these preachers, I love them. All of them don't mean a thing by it. They're not dishonest in it. They're just careless. And when the ladies come to the altar and pray, I sure would appreciate it if some of you ladies would pray with them. I don't
I'll get down to the altar and wrap myself all over some woman while they're trying to do business with God. They don't need the destruction of me. They need to do business with the Lord. And you ladies ought to support them. Same way with these men when they come to the altar. Amen. That's right. Oh, my friend, may God help us to flee youthfulness.
Amen.
It's the kind of stuff you're not going to hear preached out in Houston.
You're right.
Amen. But it's still in the Word of God. Flee youthful lust. Flee the love of money. Flee the lust of youth. And I'm going to finish with this now. I'm finishing. Flee the last judgment. When to flee? You better flee the last judgment. Luke chapter 3 and verse 7, Jesus said, "Then said He to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of Him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come?" Do you realize God's going to judge sin? He's going to judge all unrighteousness. He's going to judge every sinner that's refused Him, every unbeliever. Did you realize there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun? There is a lake of fire that burns with brimstone forever and forever. Oh, my friend, all those who have refused the only Lord Jesus will die lost without God. And they'll go to a place where the fire is not quenched and where the worm dieth not. When John was baptizing, there were those who wanted to be baptized. And they wanted to join the crowd. They wanted to be received in the church crew. But they forgot that they had not repented to get relief from the wrath to come. Oh, my friend, there is wrath coming that baptism will not shield you from. And my friend, there's wrath coming that can only be resolved through repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Flee the judgment of the Lord. Refuge can be found this morning. And my friend, regeneration can be found. A rebirth can be found. A renewal can be found. But it's only found in the Redeemer. It's only found in the Lord Jesus. It's not found in the baptismal pool. It's not found in church membership. It's not found in doing better. It's not found in straightening up. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Committing your way unto Him by repentance and faith. Somebody today needs to flee the wrath that is to come, the judgment of God that is to come, the hell that there is to shun, and the fire that awaits all those who refuse the Lord. Somebody today needs to flee. If you're sitting here in this congregation, you hear me and hear me well, being in a Baptist church this morning does not keep you from going to hell. Listening to a hellfire and brimstone preacher doesn't mean you're saved. Showing up for Sunday school this morning didn't punch your ticket for heaven. Being a preacher's kid or a deacon's kid does not save your soul. You need to run from the life you're living. Run from the hidden sin in your world. Run from the things you think nobody sees or knows. But God sees, God knows, and He will judge. And come on with a song. I'm finished preaching. You know what I really think ought to be done this morning? I think it's time to shed your double-layered veil of filthy hypocrisy and run to Jesus. Said they won't hear the voice of strangers. They'll flee from the voice of strangers. I wouldn't wait for one strum on that guitar this morning. I wouldn't wait for them to sing the first verse. If God the Holy Ghost has dealt with something in your heart and you know you've been dilly-dallying around and playing and piddling with things that are dangerous. If you know you're lost and undone without God this morning, if you're saved and you're not where you ought to be, if you're just tempted and drawn away in your heart and you know you've been careless with things, you ought to just go ahead and come on to this altar this morning. Beg the Lord to have some mercy on your life. Oh God, help us. Jesus said, they'll hear my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow. They will flee the voice of the stranger. Everybody stand this morning. I'm trying to preach to you about when to flee. When to flee. When to flee. Don't think you're so spiritual that you've got an advantage over this and the devil can't get anything in on you, friend. Oh no, that's not true at all. I mean, not at all, it's not true. This morning you need to do business with the Lord. You need help from God. Would you come today? Sing for us when you're ready. Hallelujah. How about it today, friend? In your heart, the old devil in the world pulling away at it. But Jesus is calling, the shepherd is sounding the voice. Do you need to pray? Do you need to cast your burden on the Lord? Do you need to pray for God to help you to separate far from the world? Don't try to wiggle around and get as close to it as what you can without it rubbing off on you. That don't work. It'll rub off on you. You better get far away from it. Amen. Flee. Know when to run. Flee the voice of the stranger. Flee the voice of the stranger. Flee the voice of the stranger.
Yep.
You're not alone this morning. We all deal with this same stuff. You may think you're the only one housed in a flesh like yours, but you're not. We all got it. You may think you're the only one drawn away with the lust of youth. You may think you're the only one's got a problem with the temptations in your life, but I assure you there have no temptation taken you except that which is common to man. Every one of us look in the mirror at the same kind of person. One that outside of God's grace, our righteousness is as filthy rags. We cannot please God in our flesh. The flesh is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. I do not want to lose influence with you this morning, but I live in a dirty flesh just like you do. We all battle this same old carnal man. The carnal man does not seek after the things of God. You have to run from what it wants and yield yourself to what God wants. There's a war that's taking place between the natural man and the spirit man. A battle is taking place. Better listen to the voice of Jesus. The devil and his crowd and his crew will lead you the wrong way. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It is not in a man that walketh to direct his steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Amen. There's a judgment coming. There's a God we're going to answer to. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun.
Yeah.
Want to know that I'm living my life for God. One life to lead in this whole world. I want it to count for something eternal. But Satan and the world will do all they can to keep you spellbound and keep you occupied with this world. And forget about the life to come. My granddaddy says it this way. He said, we're so wrapped up in the here and now that we forgot about the hereafter. Is that not the truth if we've ever heard it? We're so wrapped up in the here and now that we forgot about the hereafter. May the Lord help us. This morning I want to say it one more time. Some of you, if you're not careful, you'll listen to the voice of a neighbor or a friend or a family member or a co-worker or society or pop culture, or politics, or religion, or the psychiatrist,
And all of those are the voices of strangers. You better listen to the voice of the Lord. Better listen to the voice of the Lord. Some of your family will tell you you might not sought not spend so much time and effort and whatever serving God, but that's the voice of the stranger. When we get to heaven, we'll be glad we live for Jesus. Be glad we live for Jesus. Can I tell you something else before we close and we're going to leave? But I want to tell you, I don't preach what I preached this morning because I'm mad at anybody. And I'm not preaching it to anybody, not individually. I'm preaching it to everybody, including me. I need this.
Amen, brother.
But I'm going to tell you something else. I don't preach it because I don't love people or I don't like people. I preach it to you because I do. And my heart gets broke over the past 25 years of preaching and seeing people go the wrong way and make a mess. I am so tired of little old boys and girls that I love, that I've preached to. Some of them I don't never get to see anymore because mom and dad's chosen some other route. I'm so tired of seeing their lives wrecked because mom and dad decided to be stupid. I'm so tired of seeing their hearts broke because their parents thought more of their flesh than carnal desires than they did of God and their family. It makes me sick. Now I'm going to tell you something else. Somebody said, "Preacher, seems like you're mad about it." I am. I'm flat out mad at the devil and all that he does. And I'm mad at sin. I'm not mad at people. I'm frustrated sometimes with people, but I'm not mad at people. But I'm mad at the devil. And I am mad at what the devil does. And I'm going to tell you, if I could do anything this morning, I'd like to get a hold of him with a stick while he's trying to destroy your family and beat the wolves off of you. Now, I've had the calls over and over and over from somebody else's family, but I'd rather not get them about yours.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Yes. God help.
Lord, have mercy. The liquor crowd and the lewd crowd, that old lying crowd of people in this old world would like to drag you off and drag you down with them. I tell you, you don't have to go that route. Amen. Amen. Well, I've preached to you what the Lord's laid on my heart. I got to quit. I want you to consider it this week. Every time you lean one direction or another, I want you to consider, whose voice is that? When you think about doing something and you just don't know whether or not it's just exactly right, I want you to think about it and try the Spirit. Whose voice is it I'm listening to? When you say, "Well, I think it ought to be this way and I'm just going to give so-and-so a piece of my mind," I want you to consider who you're listening to. What voice is that? Amen. Every heart and mind clear. Have you done what the Holy Ghost have you do in this meeting? Don't say something to kill this thing.
I think Lot leaned towards Sodom before he ever got there. I think Samson, had he not ever laid his head in the lap of Delilah, he never would have lost the fire of God. We won't go off headlong into sin today. It shall follow the direction you're leaning.
That's right. That's right.